Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
No, we're just getting started.
No.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Hour number two here with you. 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll get back to your calls momentarily. And again, with the Knicks stuff, we'll continue to talk to you about. But here's something that was interesting that just popped up on the New York Post. And Paul Schwartz and Ryan Dunleavy have this story. So Darren Waller will be back with the Giants for next season. And it's, again, why is this news? Well, they're saying that sources are told them that after last season, Waller was expressing to some people in the Giants organization that he was thinking about retiring.
You know what happens when you start thinking about retiring?
He's only 31, but man, he's been through a lot of injuries.
He's been through a lot through his life, battling alcoholism.
That's true, too.
Stuff. Started off as a Raven. He had an interesting path. He's been through a lot.
Well, and then last year, his first year with the Giants, he had one touchdown, didn't really do much. And, so he was thinking, do I even want to play football anymore? But he's not, as the Giants confirming to the Post in this report, that he will play for the team next season. He's due to make, $14 million against the cap. And they're going to bring him back. They're not going to try to get rid of him. They're not going to try to cut him or any of that stuff. They're keeping him.
Well, I'm sure it will have some salary cap implications. A guy in a deal second year, unless he retires, pull a Corey Davis, that, it would affect them negatively on the cap as well. And when healthy, that's always the case with him, when healthy. And it hasn't been healthy for a long time.
That has always been the issue, right? That was always the concern. That's why it made that move for Joe Shane. It was a high-risk, high-reward kind of move because,
they gave up a compensatory pick, I think, so they didn't give up much to get him. Now it just comes down to money, and can you get somebody that can play in that space? Can you get a guy like Jesse Palmer from the Chargers, who I kind of put on the Jets, a guy that can really separate and I think is an emerging talent. Would that money be best served going there? Or will it go to Dalton Schultz? Can you rely on Dalton Schultz a little bit more reliable? A guy that's been in the division that you guys have seen, who have did work against y'all when he was with the Cowboys. So
I just want to make sure everybody understands. You're talking about Joshua Palmer.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, he's a beast. I like him a lot, man. Mm-hmm. I think he's a budding star. He reminds me of Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, that type of tight end that can get you yards, and he's got a little wiggle running the ball after the catch.
Would you be concerned though about, you just said it with Waller, is this good news for the Giants?
I don't know,
because
I think I
a guy who says
he
thought about retiring, and again got hurt again last year to a point where Darren Waller looked like a guy that
he didn't make any big catches, Alan.
Why do you think he probably doesn't want to get hurt?
But guys, I'm talking about drops. I'm talking about when the quarterbacks were dependent on him.
Yes.
He was non-impactful in certain games, and it was surprising that he didn't make the – you expect him to – he doesn't have to be Travis Kelce. We're not even asking him to be Travis Kittle.
Right.
Yeah, George Kittle. We're not even asking him to be – hell, man, he was outshined by guys like LaPorta.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was outshined by, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, If you had to pick, you would take Isaiah Likely.
I just worry whenever somebody contemplates retirement and doesn't, it just makes me wonder, once you think about retiring, you're retired.
And why that's important, Alan, is because when you get to the dog days, when everybody starts to hate football and the preparation, it's already in your head.
Yeah, I don't really want to do this.
I should have just retired.
Yeah, Yeah, so that's the news. It's an interesting story in the Post right now about that. So Waller, Joe Shane's big – that was a big headline pickup last offseason, and it was a piece that they thought they don't have a real big-time target as far as a receiving target. Couldn't get a wide receiver, so they went this route, and they thought, let's see if we can catch lightning in a bottle. But, again, he got hurt again, and now he's, thought about retiring, but they're saying he's coming back and that the Giants want him back.
I wonder with Slayton. Slayton is a guy that they always want to get rid of. Like, they always want to get rid of Slayton, man. Like, and he's just been, you know, he was a guy that they drafted late. I don't even know if he was drafted. Mm. You know what I mean? But he's just showed up and showed out, and they always try and get rid of him. I just wonder.
I just think they're looking for an upgrade at that position. Like, again, you got to get guys who can get separation on the regular that can help your quarterback.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out how they're going to get him. Are they going to get him via draft?
Yeah.
Are they going to get him via free agency?
Like, the Giants have a lot of holes. Everybody that wants to see the Giants take a quarterback at six, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. Take you want to get one in the second round? Fine. But the sixth pick, no.
Unless
take Neighbors. Unless
you, and if you're going to go.
If he's on the board and you pass on him, you're out of your mind. Like, get yourself a receiver. You got to get as much talent as you possibly can get.
The issue is with the Giants as well is we don't know who's going to start the season. Like, maybe Daniel Jones can
get back
this season.
Yeah, but you can find – like, you're going to need a backup anyway. You can find somebody.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny. Like, if I'm Tommy DeVito, I'm like, come on, I proved I can win games for you. And you're like, man, that was
– they have moved on from him so
like,
fast.
They're like, I don't know, man.
That was Linsanity.
We can't let you be our second guy.
No.
You can be our third guy.
Yeah.
No. Yo, but I don't know if you can be our second guy.
Dave, you can tell. Dave the whole time was complimentary, but he never gushed. No, right? He never gushed about the game. He just was complimentary. So maybe that might have been his best coaching ever.
Yeah,
Brian Dable's best coaching ever might have been turning Tommy DeVito into a capable quarterback who could win you a football game, right? Like that might have been his best coach. And that's not look. This levels to everything. We're not mocking Tommy DeVito. It's just a reality of the level of talent that you are.
Because like can you trust Tyrod Taylor?
No, you cannot. Again, you already got a guy that's hurt. You need a backup. Like, you think the Jets need to get a Jacoby Brissett or Gardner Minshew? I think the Giants need to get themselves one of these guys.
Especially when you got a quarterback that, you got one that's 40 years old with a bad will. You got another one that's 27 with a bad neck and a bad knee.
Yeah, right. Both teams need a good brand name backup quarterback that could get you games, that could play a little bit. And they need him. And so to draft a guy six and make him the backup, lunacy. When your starter, you don't know. Like, he's going to be ready for starter training camp. Okay, great. But we also know that he can get hurt. There's no way the Giants should – I'm telling – the more I've looked at this, and there's no way you take a quarterback at six. No way. No way.
Depends on who that guy is, I guess.
Well, Bart, and you pass on an all-world talent at wide receiver?
If it's Jayden Daniels, it seems like it's an all-world wide receiver coming out every year. You know what I'm saying? It's three or four of them.
So why don't you get one since you haven't had an all-world wide receiver since Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah.
But haven't had one.
But just think of the young quarterback, the young receivers that have come in the league and just not a problem. I feel like the receiver translates faster than the running back now because in college they throw the ball so much.
Yeah, you might be right.
You look at like who the top guys were last year.
But if that was the case, then how come the Giants haven't found one yet?
Because they've been trying to address the offensive line. That's the problem.
No, they've drafted wide receivers.
Yeah. But the kid from Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. They haven't picked the right one. They really messed up with Kadarius Toney. Now, Kadarius Toney, when you watch what he did,
I think we're learning that Kadarius Toney is not a guy you trust.
Yeah.
When
you saw the drills and the stuff he did, like, it warranted the pick. Like, he was much better version of Elijah Moore.
Right, and then you get him in-house, and you realize that on a day-to-day basis, this guy's not about the work.
Yeah.
He's a physical talent.
Something's off there.
Right, but he's missing what we need from him, which is, like, why is Garrett special? Student of the game.
Yeah.
Right? Garrett Wilson's special because he's got all the physical tools, but he's also
– even Mecole Hartman says
exactly what you want.
He's like, no, that guy, okay, I understand.
How about that?
He's like –
that's
the ultimate
respect, right? He's like, I'm better than all these except for Garrett. That dude's the truth.
Man, I'm better than all these I'm sorry, Garrett.
Yeah, except for Garrett.
Listen, everybody but Garrett, these other dudes are above, man.
It's so true.
That other guy, okay, no, I take that back.
He was really quick to make sure that he showed
me. I'm going
to
lose all credibility by everybody that's listening if I say I'm better than him.
800-919-3776. Let's go back to the calls. We got a lot of calls to get to, so let's do it. Let's see. Let's go to Dave in Westchester. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great
Good.
Show.
Good.
Hey, so want to talk about Knicks a little bit and St. John's a little bit.
All right.
Your buddy Wally was giving some love to the new St. John's, so I like to see that this week. They're on a roll. But I'm a little bit concerned about
Auburn. They got athletic.
No, no, no. Listen,
they got athletic in a week or two, right?
But seriously, St. John's, and it should be mentioned, right? What Rick has done there is why last year I went crazy when the St. John's was looking for a coach again. And it was like, this is the obvious choice. Because you knew in the beginning there were going to be some moments, and it was going to, you know, you're going to have some moments of ugly. And they've had some moments of ugly. I mean, it seems like Seton Hall, just every time they play Seton Hall, they embarrass them. But he's getting them right at the right time. And I know Georgetown isn't what they used to be, right? I get it. But the win over Creighton is a big win. That's a big win for the program. Beating Butler at Butler, that's a good win. Wow. And now it's like, you know, you finish off strong and you just see if you can make a case for yourself to be a tournament team. And I do think the Big East tournament for Rick is going to be everything. That'll be the arrival. Like, if you can get a statement win in that tournament, that's your arrival. And then we all know there's a lot of money. I mean, Rapoli's got some money in his pocket. There's some NIL to throw around. There's the Patino name, and then there's the Garden Stage. This offseason, the portal's going to open, and I'm telling you right now, like, what St. John's and what Patino can do after this season will open a lot of eyes and maybe put them back on the map. But you knew he was going to take a ragtag bunch and make them work their tails off until they get some quality wins, and he's been doing that lately. So kudos to him.
What else you got for us?
Totally agree. Big East tournament's going to be huge for St. John's, and you said it exactly right. The money will flow in if they can get a quad one win in the Big East tournament.
Big, that's huge.
Yeah, that'd be huge. Mm-hmm. Switching gears to the Knicks, I got to say, you know, you love the Nova guys. They give it 100% every night, 110%. But you saw what happened last night. I mean, Brunson's taking offensives and getting tossed around. End of the half, he gets banged onto the ground, no call.
Yeah.
And then Josh Hart, bloody nose for Dante. You know, I'm afraid that even when the other guys are ready to come back, the Randalls of the world, or Villanova Knick guys are going to be on the bench because they're going to be hurt. What do you guys think about that?
Well, you hope not, right? And that's what you're trying to do is protect Brunson and make sure that despite the fact that he's, you know, you're not getting him off the court and he's going to give you everything he's got, he's also getting now, you're getting doubles thrown at him constantly. They're trapping him because they just know, everybody knows that the Lakers did this. You know, everybody has been doing it when they've played the Knicks. It's, we're just going to make someone else beat you. And most nights, no, not another guy can beat you. And so, you know, Brunson's going to have to deal with that pressure of all the defense focused on him for now. And you just don't want him to wear down. And then when they get back to a hole, you can't double him because of Randall and Ananobi, right? You can't. That's the ideal situation. DiVincenzo's another guy. He's been playing his tail off. And you could see, like, he jacks up a ton of threes and his arm's going to fall off. You know, like, he put up 12 threes last night. He's putting up 18 threes in the other game.
And they have to run around and chase Steph.
And then he's right. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because then he's also having to play the other team's best offensive player, and he's giving you all he's got on that end. Josh Hart played 47 out of 48 minutes last night.
Yeah. And you know Steph knows lunatic. All the tricks. Steph's like, I taught you how to get the shot off.
Yeah.
You think I don't know what we doing?
Oh, yeah. But you know, like, it's the caller was right. The Villanova three are emptying the tank for you right now. And it's hard because there's just not enough to win. But I'm not putting it on those guys.
I'm telling you, you
got to get
OG
back.
You just need a fresh body.
You got to get Randall back, and you got to hope that Randall can get into a rhythm soon enough that defenses are going to have to focus on him, and it opens the game up again, because January was the result of two guys that can get you 30 – and then a bunch of guys that can spread the floor and shoot threes. And the minute you took those elements away, the Knicks became much easier to guard. It's just, I can't explain any more than that. It's as simple as those two pieces. You can miss two pieces, but these are critical pieces. And they got to get back as soon as possible. Wayne in Oak Ridge. Wayne.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Great. Yeah, I was calling about the Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
You see that? I just feel Tom is not using him in enough time to give him to get in the groove. And with our other guys coming back, with Randall and Nobi, even if Robinson comes back, mm-hmm. all them players need 30 plus minutes a game.
Right.
Where is he going to fit in?
Bogdanovich,
he's just
going
to be.
He was acquired to play 20 minutes a game at best.
He's
34 years
now?
Old. He wasn't acquired to play 38 minutes a night, and you can see he can't. He was 0-7.
I know that, Allen, but how? Look at that. Put him in with in the third quarter, 1 minute left in the game. How do you come into a rhythm with 1 minute left?
Well, he played. Did you
watch
him?
What I mean?
Wait. Wayne, did you watch him in the first half?
I watched. I know they made it hard for him, Allen. I know they made it hard for him to shoot and everything like that.
Yeah.
But I think.
No, actually, he got off good shots. He got off good shots. He had no lift.
He just couldn't finish at the basket.
He had no lift.
He missed some easy buddies.
You had to. Did you see? There was one replay. Wayne, there was one replay that TNT showed him.
Yep.
He misses a makeable shot. Then they show him turn. And the look on his face is a look of absolute anger. He's talking to himself like, how the hell am I missing these shots? He's mad at himself. When you're a coach and you see that, you're like, okay, we got to get him right. Like, he's not right. I got to get him out of the game. Because you don't want a guy who's talking to himself out there. You got to get him right.
Right, no, I get it.
And I'm telling you, that sleeve, Wayne, that sleeve on his calf, that worries me. Again, in his 30s. Sleeve on the calf.
Because you worry about the calf. You worry
legs
about the
aren't right. I'm telling you, it's bothering me. It's bothering me. Like, that's the kind of stuff that makes it. All right, so he doesn't look right. He's frustrated. You could see he has no lift. Now there's a sleeve on the calf. That's all that stuff is starting to worry me. And that's what the thing. You acquired him to be a deadly scorer off the bench in like 20 minutes. You don't need him to play a ton. Just when I have to go to my bench, I got a guy that's going to come in and light you up. And the problem is, I don't know if he's healthy. And that's a concern. Chris in Jersey. Chris.
Allen, Bart, thank you for taking the call. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Listen, on that note right there, I'm a 90s Knicks guy. I love the Knicks. I was at the Heat game when Randall went down. What a great game. The atmosphere was amazing. Watch you guys all the time. Yo, listen, Allen. Why 2 points here, Bogdanovich? Mm-hmm. Why is he handling the basketball and trying to drive the hoop when he's here to shoot 3-pointers? I don't get that part of his game. And I'm watching the game last night and a couple games. He's driving to the hoop mm-hmm. to score, and it's almost I could see Hart getting frustrated. I could see Brunson getting frustrated. Like, why doesn't Thibodeau say, "Listen, Bog, stand in the corner." Uncontested threes, that's all you do. And then Burks, I like Burks, man, and he's not afraid to shoot, and you love it, but he is just 31%. Overshooting,
yeah.
And it's not good. And Allen, and Bart, tell me if you're down with this. I feel like Anunoby sort of scammed us a little bit right now. He came in, he was great, he was the life of the game, he was getting all the accolades, and then boom, he disappeared for a month and a half.
Well,
he's injured.
He didn't disappear, but Chris, he had a hard fall, landed on his elbow.
Allen,
it hurt.
From a fan's perspective.
And then it got worse and
right?
worse, and they had to finally, and then they looked in and found out that he had bone spurs on his shooting elbow, which means, as Bart explained, you can't shoot because it's going to keep flaring up, so they had to fix it. That's what happened.
I get it, but it just feels like to me watching the game as a fan, like he just to me disappeared a little bit. So but I'm not panicked.
But Chris, you know he's going to come back, Chris. You know
no, he's coming back.
It's not like he's like we don't know the status of him. He's close to coming back, and you want him for you? Do you want him like playing through the pain now and injured and not being able to answer the
he's
bell when it's the playoffs?
No, you're right. And Allen, real quick, I see you on the broadcast all the time. I remember when you were with Kelly on the broadcast years ago, like the pregame, long time ago. But is it me or when I think, by the way, I do not watch the game unless it's MSG. And if I watch it on TNT or ABC, I put it on mute because they are so slanted towards the other team against the Knicks every single time. I can't stomach it. I only watch on MSG, Allen.
Was it last night like that? Who was it? Was Brian
last
Anderson
night was not
in,
as bad.
Stan?
ABC is terrible. No is disrespect
ABC?
To us, Burke.
That's my ABC. Breen.
No, not Breen. Not Mike. Doris, JJ, I'm telling you, as I'm a Knicks fan, Allen, it is sickening. Oh, it's Embiid, it's Jokic, it's all these other guys, and it's always like, oh, the Knicks are good, but, oh, it's but, oh, it's sickening, man.
Well, for the last 10 years, it has been but with the Knicks.
But it isn't now. That's the point.
It's the problem. Well, I know, but I think if you've been – now, Chris, if you've watched ESPN – thank you for the call. If you've been watching ESPN, they have done nothing but praise the Knicks. You watch the NBA countdown. Like Malik is there, and there's Stephen A. And Stephen A. is just going on. He's got the pom poms out, and you know Kendrick Perkins is saying the one team that can beat the Celtics in the East, he's picking the Knicks to do it. They're the team that can do it. Like everybody's praising what the Knicks have done all year. They have been all over it. Yes. Have you had the Becky Hammon saying that Jalen's too small, and do you have Candace Parker on the other network saying that he's not a 1A and all that stuff? Okay, you'll have that. But I haven't – how about Chuck and Shaq? Normally, they're crapping all over the Knicks. Chuck has not been like that at all.
I think you
like they have been – I think that, if anything, they have gotten a lot of praise, which if you're a Knicks fan,
lately,
that would worry you.
At first, because Kenny had a little – he's just not a star. And
Kenny tries to balance it because he's from New York and he knows it.
Yeah. It took Brunson a couple of big games and started to play like he played for people to start saying, okay –
yeah,
we got to take that back. We got to start taking the Knicks seriously, especially when they went on that run. People had to give them nothing but respect.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is now, they coming off and now they're injured. So it's like, good thing they won those games.
Because
where would they be if they had won that historic run?
If not for January, where would they be? Yeah. So it just shows you. But what I said on Get Up this morning is something that is like the thing that scares me the most, and it's that. Was January the best we will ever see of this version of the Knicks? Before we get to the summer, when you know there's going to be some major moves to be made and they probably will be involved in something. So this version of the Knicks, Greeny was saying this to me. He's like, I love watching them play. He's like, and I haven't said that about a Knick team in a long time. Like, I was genuinely enjoying them. Like, the way they play, the type of players they have. Greeny was saying this to me. We were talking about it, and I was agreeing with him. Like, you know what? You're right. They were easy to watch. They were easy to like. And now you just want to hope that comes back again. Will that come back again? And all of that depends on Anunoby coming back and fitting in the way he did the first time around, which why wouldn't he? He came in and showed up and had immediate impact. So why would he need time to ease his way back in and figure it out when he already knows what to do? But the one that I think is the biggest caveat is Julius Randle and a shoulder that is going to hurt him at times. He's going to have to play through pain at times. It's going to take a lot of preparation to get his shoulder loose for games. And most importantly, is that shoulder going to hinder him? Now, it's not his shooting shoulder, but he still has to raise his arms up. Is it going to hinder his ability to be an offensive force? Because if he can't do the things that he can do, you're going to be missing something. So those are big ifs.
He was playing bully ball at his highest level.
Physicality, right? Off the charts. So that's the concern if you're a Knick fan is, will we see that team again? Not, are they going to fall out of this? They're going to fall out of anything, all right? They're going to be in the playoff hunt. They'll be there, and they're going to be whole in a couple of weeks. Then you'll have about a month of games to get the best seed you can and prove – oh, there's that team from January. They're back. And all you care about right now, Knick fans, is that you see that team in April. If you see that team in April, then all of this right now, this month of February 4-8, you'll forget all of that. But you got to see that team by April. And that's what we're waiting for. 800-919-3776. We have audio files coming up next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. All eyes in the NFL right now on the Scouting Combine. That's where Jordan Renan is these days. And he was also on with DiPietro and Rothenberg earlier this morning, and they asked him, so what's the latest with Saquon Barkley and the Giants?
Talking to people here in Indianapolis, most people think like if he gets like $10 million a year, kind of going to be fortunate. So $8 to $10 million is what a lot of people said to me. I got a rare person. I mean, a GM told me $8 million. So I was like, well, if it's that price, I for sure see a scenario where he can end up back in the Giants, right? And they say, well, that's a price we're willing to pay. It's not 12, right, which is what the tag is. So the scenario that he comes back, I still think, is on the table.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple triple cask matured Irish whiskey, be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
See, man, I hate that. I hate that Justin Bieber didn't do the Super Bowl with Usher. He just wasn't in the right space, so he told Usher, you know, he was there to support his brother, but he wasn't going to be there. He could have did Yummy Yummy on there, man. People hate on two child stars or three that I think don't get enough respect in the music game. Bow Wow, mm-hmm. and what he was able to do. Bow Wow still got good movies and all that stuff. He was like 7 or 8 or 12. And then I think people sleep on Justin Bieber, and like his catalog is crazy. And how long he's been doing it, but like how he's been able to have different sounds and different hits. Mm. And Chris Brown, because Chris Brown started at 16.
So Justin Bieber's, by the way, it's today's his birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Now, his age blows my mind.
What is he, like 27?
No, he's older than that.
Oh, damn. He's old now?
But he hits a milestone birthday this year.
30 yeah. Burger? Wow!
Like, isn't that like that? Really does.
That's how you know we old
a little bit. Like, whoa!
The Biebs is 30.
But then you go, Justin Bieber's only 30. Like, it feels like he's been around forever.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like he's been around forever? Like, when did Baby come out? What was Baby? That was his first big hit, right? Baby.
Yeah. I don't know.
What year was Baby?
If he's that old, then how old is Bow Wow?
Well, Google's your friend.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
Damn, well, Bow Wow's born in 87, so that means Bow Wow, like 35.
Yeah, Justin Bieber was born in 94. 09? See, I thought Baby was older than that. I don't know why I thought Baby was like earlier 2000, but all right, so 09.
Just think, Bow Wow is only like, he's only 35, man, 36.
But it's like when you hear Justin Bieber's 30, it hits you two ways. At first it hits you and you go, like, damn, he hit 30. That's a big milestone. He's no longer like a child star, no longer like, you know, that whole cute, cuddly thing. And then you go, wait a minute, he's only 30? He's been around forever, right?
You know who got me? And I was like, damn.
Who got you?
The little girl off of Baby Girl off of Yeah, she grown. She out here in these streets showing everybody them thickums. Yeah, see, I didn't even have to say it. He already know who I'm talking about. Off the Bernie Mac show.
Oh,
yo. Both daughters on that show is grown now.
Yo, I was like, I was like, man, I might risk it all. She really? Thickums.
Okay.
I'm going to find her name for you, and you look her up.
That's all right.
She played. She basically
that was like
played
when the Cosby kids all grew up, and you were just like, "Wait, she all grew up now."
Well, Denise was always grown, and then I thought I thought Raymond Simone was gonna be cute, but then she ended up not liking men. So, you know, she won't that's know right. she mean, won't know she ain't want no hot dog in her bun. So
no, she was that's just a choice.
No. What I'm saying is, I thought she was gonna be real pretty. I thought Ashley was gonna be a lot prettier when she got older too. I always thought she looked like Chili from TLC.
From TLC, yeah.
But she's pretty, but she not the pretty that I thought she was going to be. I thought she was going to be like she was so beautiful, man, as a kid, mm-hmm. man. She had them like long, curly, wavy hair, like Hawaiian silky.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was going to be a lot better, man. But Bernie Mac show.
Anyways.
Follow her on Twitter, by the way. Good follow.
Good time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Bernie Files.
Audio file.
Yeah, not the Bernie files, the audio files. And so as we're talking about the Knicks in a bit of a free fall now, although they still are clinging, hanging on by a thread with the 4 seed in the East.
Oh, no.
The Philadelphia 76ers are also dropping like a stone as well, mainly because they don't have Joel Embiid. And Joel Embiid, who has been out after having that meniscus surgery on his knee, he did finally come out and talk to the media and assure that he does plan on coming back this season, but of course, do we know when?
That's the plan. Obviously, everything has to go right. As far as getting healthy and as close as I'm supposed to be. But yeah, that's the plan.
What's the timeline if everything goes right?
There's really no timeline. It all depends on. You can never tell how the body reacts, especially once you start ramping up. So, it all depends on how it feels, and if it feels great, then that's good. If it doesn't feel like it's right, then you got to keep going.
He's just got to go at how the knee feels. He's a big man. He's sitting around. That's not good either. And then, of course, he's got knee issues. And, remember it wasn't that long ago we were talking about, what if he's not happy in Philly and the Knicks could trade for him?
Yeah, we good.
good
yeah, that's we, not... we good on that.
Yeah, so anyway, that's going to impact the Sixers. So one team in the East that's, going through it as well and missing a key piece, no doubt about that. I know you were at the Knicks game last night watching the Knicks and Golden State, but the game of the night last night was these two guys match up, Art, and it is always just must
watch. You talking about the stick fight, Slender Man versus Stick Man?
I'll tell you what, any time that you can get a matchup between the Thunder and the Spurs, I'm in. And so last night's game was in San Antonio, and the Spurs had played a lot of road games. So, again, these are two teams in two different places. The Spurs came into the game with just 11 wins.
Yeah.
The Thunder are pushing for the top spot in the West.
Yeah,
they got 41 wins already. They've got an MVP candidate in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah. They're a show. But they go in, and from the start of the game, the Spurs are giving it to them. Now, you expect at some point reality sets in and, it'll catch up.
The better team.
Yeah, the better team wins, and then, of course, everybody just moves on. But every time they made a push, Victor Wembanyama was like, nope, this ain't happening. He hit a couple of shots in the fourth quarter of this game. One of them was his heels were on the logo. Just caught it and fired it. 28-foot 3, drilled it, put him up 9. Then he hits a dagger 3 that was more off on the break, knocks that down. He had a couple of block shots. There was one. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is one of the toughest guys to guard in the paint. He's slithering through the paint. He comes up. Wembanyama comes over and just absolutely obliterates the shot. Even Shai was like, what the hell was that? This guy came out of nowhere. And then at the very end, Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren, one-on-one, as you said, the stick figure fight.
Yeah.
And he's trying to crossover step back, and Wemby just absolutely smashes it. He finishes with 28 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 blocks. An absolute monster, right? 5 three-pointers as well, 5 of 7 from downtown. Just an absolute monster of a performance. And then he's out on the court talking to the fans in San Antonio. And you could start to see, when we talk about faces of the future of the NBA, this guy's got some charismatic personality to him.
I missed this. I love it. I missed it.
enjoying a game and winning back on the road trip with more than 16,000 people that are out. That's good. Hey, tailgate goes first, go. One, two, three, go, Spurs, go.
I mean, he's becoming the show, Bart, and I said it on Get Up this morning, if the NBA has any hope of somebody taking the mantle from LeBron and Steph, I think he's the only one. I just don't think anybody's got all the things that he has, and the one thing he's got to do that it's up to the Spurs to build is he's got to win. If he becomes an NBA champ, he's the face of the league.
Yeah. And he's a unicorn, right? We can't look to anybody like Yao Ming or like Shaq. Like there was nobody like them, right? And I know that Chet is similar. But nobody's like
Wimby. Not like
Wimby.
That. Right, nobody. Chet's too low-key. Like, he doesn't have the personality.
No. I'm talking about from a body standpoint.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
right?
Of course.
So, like, when you come there, you feel like you're, like, at the circus, not in a bad way, but you feel like, man, I can't believe how – I mean, he made Shaq look short.
Yeah.
And the only person that ever made Shaq look little to me was Yao Ming.
Right.
And it's like so you look at that, and then he's doing things that he's not supposed to do, right, at that size. He's not just like – you know, Shaq down low banging stuff you expect. He's bringing the breakdown, crossing over. 28-foot
three. Yeah.
Right. He's so tall like a giant that he's hitting one leg. He's shooting one leg three pointers.
Yeah,
like it's a floater.
Right,
like what we do for 5 and 10 feet. He's
right.
Shooting floaters.
He's
like,
doing
what?
The Dirk from 28 feet.
It's right. Like, yo, what is he doing?
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, he's, I would say it hasn't been a hype as big as his since LeBron James.
And he's living up to it.
And he's exceeding it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's special.
And laugh now and get all your licks in now.
Oh, yeah.
Because once they build around him and he continues to develop and get stronger and adjust to the game and they put his minutes up,
yep.
Look out, man.
Yeah. No, why I said the face of the league thing. I did a thing earlier in the week where I felt like there's just nobody coming. But I said he's the one guy that could do it because you need all of these things.
And you don't want to punch him in the face. Like Luka, like he's got a punch. Like his personality,
oh,
how he kind of he's smug on the court sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like you want to punch him in the face. This guy is just like, oh man, this dude's so nice.
All right, let's keep moving through audio files here, but we could talk more about Wembanyama on the other side. You know, do you think he could be a face of the sport? 800-919-3776. We've heard many, many times about Tyreek Hill and the Jets, and you know, obviously we've had all kinds of fun with that whole thing with him and the 2 years ago when he was going to be out in Kansas City and the Jets did make an effort. They were hoping they could get him, but then he went.
Who? The Jets?
Right? Like we all know, like he kind of joked about it. But he loves Zach Wilson. There was all kinds of stuff that made you wonder, like, what was it then?
I'm a fan of Zach Wilson.
Yeah, like, what was it then? Why? Why didn't he want to play for the Jets? On the Punchline pod, he blamed Adam Sandler.
Dang, so Adam Sandler stopped you from being a Jet?
He didn't call me, bro. Yeah, I'm almost a New York Jet, man. I'm a huge Adam Sandler guy, and Adam Sandler loves the New York Jets. So I wanted my request was if Adam Sandler was to call me and asked me to come play for the Jets, I'd have went. I wanted to play and hustle. I love Adam Sandler, bro. Like, he could have made a football hustle movie. You feel me? But
Who would be in the cast? Who would be in the cast?
You gotta add Mahomes in there, bro. You gotta add Mahomes. What? Why?
But Tua got the pretty balls.
NFL, you gotta add Mahomes. And it's gotta be about Lamar Jackson, though.
Okay.
I just feel like his story is like the greatest story of all time as a quarterback.
That went off into another tangent, but the only thing I cared about was that all he wanted was a phone call from Adam Sandler and didn't get it, and that's why he went to Miami? That's why he went to Miami.
Oh, cap.
Are you buying that? Yeah, this is definitely a cap.
He trolling us, man.
Definitely.
Like, why people always want to continue to troll us? Like, you've already made your decision, man.
Isn't it amazing how he can't stop talking about the Jets, though?
A lot of people can't do that, and I don't have no idea why. Maybe because they know Jets is a buzzword, and if you say something about
maybe
the Jets, it's going to hit the circuit.
So
can I hit a retraction, too?
A retraction?
Yeah, it wasn't Bernie Mac show. It's Parker McKenna Posey from My Wife and Kids.
Oh.
Thank me later.
Okay. All right, well, that's audio files.
Thank me later.
That's audio files. 800-919-3776. We do have more sound for you, though, because we're at the we have the NFL draft combine going on right now, and so the interview process is going on. There are a lot of quarterbacks, obviously, and so the Giants have a top 10 pick. They pick at 6, and some people believe they're looking for a quarterback. How do these quarterbacks in the draft feel about the Giants? You'll hear from them. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The Garden of Laughs returns to the theater at MSG on March 27th, benefiting the Garden of Dreams Foundation. The all-star comedy lineup features Bill Burr, Michael Che, Christy Stefano, Jim Gaffigan, Heather McMahon, Tracy Morgan, Sam Morrill, and Jon Stewart. It's hosted by Steve Sciarippa. Support the Garden of Dreams Foundation and have a great time doing it. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. 800-919-3776. Let's get back to the calls, Bart Scott, shall we? Jose is in the Bronx. Jose.
Hey, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. It's funny. I was waiting on this call. My cousin from Harlem texted me a picture of Jordan, Garden, Len Bias in college. Imagine that. Imagine if that was the greatest rivalry that didn't happen. Man, that was a great picture. He sent me that one.
Wow. I didn't realize they crossed over in college.
He brought him in Maryland. He didn't play in Maryland.
I know he went to Maryland, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He sent me that picture. I don't know, because Jordan was drafted in 84 and Len Bias in 86, right?
Was he 86?
I think.
Yeah, you're right. Len Bias was 86. No, right? You're right. I don't know why. Len Bias, it always felt like 89. But you're right. It was 86. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was a quick snapshot. I was like, "Oh man, that was."
He was, and it's amazing too. It was with Boston Celtics, and
yeah, I know
they thought he was going to be a special star. And the sad story is that he had never done drugs before, but he had gotten drafted. They were he had some people partying, and they told him to try it, and fatefully, had the overdose.
Yeah, I don't know if there was a documentary about that, but I mean, I think they Congress passed a law, a Len Bias law, if I'm not mistaken. I forgot what the law is. You can look that up.
I
actually called. And I was talking to the person that screened the call. So I played baseball, football, basketball. I broke my arm in college, and like Dave Jarecki. So I have my father played with Jose Cruz. And I was talking to my father last week, and he was like, man, what happened to the full court press? So I need to clarify, whatever happened to the full court press?
Delilah from Coach Carter?
Man.
I mean, look, it exists in high school. It exists in college. You'll never see it in the NBA.
I know. Never. But, I mean.
You're not getting pros to play full court. Rick Pitino tried in the old days, but you're not getting pros to do that in an 82-game season. You can go full court press with like a minute to go. You can, if you're desperate, you do play it. But you just nobody's going to do.
You got the one man full court press. Alvarado,
right?
I always love when Alvarado play Chris Paul. Chris Paul like, God, man, damn.
Oh, he'd pick him up, right? Yeah,
he just go throw the ball to somebody else. Man, I ain't dealing with this dude.
you got the ball rolling up to half court and nobody's defending. I mean, Bart, as you know, because I'm 48. I mean, the Houston game against the Knicks. These young kids. I mean, that call was tremendously. I mean, ridiculous. However, that was old school basketball, man. You mean to tell me
diving for
LeBron
the ball.
James is going to come through, and Doc Edwards is coming from the weak side, LeBron's going to get clotheslined, man. I mean, we hated the Pistons, but, man, they, you know, those games, oh, man,
Just different world.
I don't know.
Yeah. Now, and Jose, I asked the people earlier this week because we've been talking about how the physicality is something that Joe Dumars, Tim Bontemps did a story for ESPN.
It's amazing.
About how they feel like it's gone now. The pendulum swung too much to the offense, and they need to bring back some things. And there's a belief that they might bring hand-checking back to the NBA to be able to slow down a guy. Because to keep a guy in front of you now is almost impossible. You can't do it with your feet. You got to have some help. And maybe they let you now lean again like they did in the old days. You know, and how does that change the game, and what kind of impact can it have on the game? And I want to know from people, would you rather see more physicality and less easy offense, or are you just – because the league thought, oh, everybody just wants to see this fun offense. Like the NFL did the same thing. Right, yes. Everybody's over the top. Baseball, it's all, oh, give me home runs. I want more home runs. I go crazy for home runs.
Exactly. And since I played the game and I broke my arm at Fordham University, and me and my father talked, my father played with Jose Cruz. So he's seen Mickey Mantle butt. And I relate a lot of arm injuries to the lowering of the mound. You don't have the Tom Seavers. You don't have the Nolan Ryans. You don't have the Roger Clemens because pitching is from the leg down.
Yeah.
And they don't have that leverage. And there's a lot of arm injuries because of that lack of leverage.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the physicality, to be honest with you.
I'm the same way, Jose. Good to hear from you, my man. Thank you. I mean, of course, people will say it's generational, but in all honesty, sometimes we go too far with something that we think, oh, this will sell the game more. It's more fun. This will sell the game. And then you realize you sold out the game because there's the game is played a certain way. It is, by the way, the Len Bias Law. It was passed by the House of Representatives after his tragic death. Ronald Reagan was the president at the time, signed it into law. It provided a mandatory minimum prison term of 20 years and a maximum life sentence, along with a fine up to $2 million for cases of drug distribution that led to the death or serious injury of a person. And so that's the Len Bias Law. All right, 800-919-3776. We will continue with your calls going into the Power Hour. Let's also hear from some of the big-name quarterback prospects that'll be ready in the draft. They're at the Combine right now. And all of them, what do they think of the prospect of playing in New York for the Giants? You'll hear from them and more coming up. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, when you're talking about this year's NFL draft, right now all the conversation is focused on all the quarterbacks. So does that mean that the Giants also will be looking to add a quarterback? That was the question to Jordan Renaud earlier this morning on DPHO and Rothenberg.
They're doing everything possible to see if they can get a quarterback here. Now, what's really on the table, though? Because you talk to people here, and it seems like Caleb Williams is going to go one to the Bears. We know the Commanders need a quarterback, right? They're not trading. So if those two spots aren't available, so then maybe only the number three spot is available. And we know the Patriots need a quarterback, so I guess the only scenario where that's even possible to move up, the Giants maybe could want to be aggressive, but it's possible that that trade isn't out there, right? It's going to be out of the Giants' hands.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3:00, it's the Michael K Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.